world that align with Jesus. One thing that we see in this season of Lent is that we live in a culture that works seamlessly to blend faith and the world so that following Christ is as painless as possible. Is that the way of Lent? Is that the way of the cross? Is that the way of denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following Jesus? I'm getting ahead of myself. These are questions we'll answer in the weeks ahead. But for today, we're starting the book of Isaiah and this journey of Lent and see what God's call is to us as we start this season. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for this chance to be together, for the variety that we see among us, Lord. And I pray as we open up your word, Holy Spirit, teach us. May we draw near to you in your presence here. Convict us of what we need convicted. And renew in us the dead, dirty, and dusty places that need renewal. Pray this in your name. Amen. So, have you all heard of the game Taco Cat Goat Cheese Pizza?
Yes,
that's a great game, right? One game is a card game with the cards being, guess what? Taco Cat Goat Cheese and Pizza, right? Not goat cheese, but goat and cheese. So, five different things. I think I'm remembering this right. You take the card and you deal out all the cards to everybody, and then once you say taco and you play the card down, and if it matches, you have to slam your hand on the card, and the last one to slam their hand picks up all the cards. Is that right? If I remember that correctly, yes, that's a fun game, right? And so sometimes the pile gets really high, and you get stuck with like 20 cards. Sometimes you only get one or two. Well, either way, it goes that way. First time we ever played this, we played it at Mel's house. It was a lot of fun with Mel and Lilia. We played for like an hour. We were laughing. We were cracking up. Partially because I could not remember the order of the names of the things. So my taco, cat, sausage, cheese, I was thinking pizza in my mind. I was getting hungry. I don't know. But eventually, it just started rolling off the tongue. Taco, cat, goat, cheese, pizza, right? Fantastic game. We've never played it. I tried to, well, I didn't try. My son and wife tried to find it today. We couldn't find it at our house. I know we have it. I know we've played it. I can't find it. So if you have it, bring it sometime. We can play it. It'll be a lot of fun. Maybe bring it for the youth tonight. It'll be fun. It'll be fun. Taco, cat, goat, cheese, pizza. Anyway, that's all to say. We're looking at four words today. Not taco, cat, goat, cheese, and pizza, but four words that will lead us into the season of Lent. Seek, call, forsake, and return. Seek, call, forsake, and return. Say it with me. Seek, call, forsake, and return. It's going to roll off the tongue right now, but trust me. After my hour sermon, it'll roll right off there. When we talk about Lent, as we enter into the season, these are the four words we're going to focus on to start today. Seek, call, forsake, and return. In our passage, which is in front of you, which I know some of you can read, but it's in an app, Isaiah 55, 6 and 7 says this. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The book of Isaiah is a beast of a book. We've talked about it before. The first section, chapters 40 through 55, contain different themes and ideas from the first section, which is 1 through 39. The first section deals with judgments that are coming for the nations that don't turn and follow God, and judgment that comes for Israel, for those who do not repent. And the second section seems to be written much later, whether that's Isaiah writing or someone in the style of Isaiah writing, that talks about a different idea, that God is speaking to a wounded people, that he is working to save, that he is speaking to those in exile who have lost their homes and lost their families and are looking for help. The second section of Isaiah is where we get the famous suffering servant passage, Isaiah 52, 53, which the later church connects with Jesus as the suffering servant. We also get this beautiful chapter for today, Isaiah 55, which we're going to look at. It's the promise of God's abundant life. We're going to look at it briefly. I'm going to read it. We're going to read it from the NRSV. I like that translation, so we're going to use that one today for this. So Isaiah 55, starting with verse 1, begins with the word, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters." Now, ho is this old school proclamation, right? So it's kind of like, listen up. Get ready. Here we go. I have something to declare to you. "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come buy meat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in rich food. So the chapter opens with Isaiah using this metaphor for free food to talk about God's goodness. I like that metaphor a lot. Right? I like free food. I was trying to think this week, have I ever turned down free food in my life? Never came to me, not once, right? But it's especially a powerful metaphor for those living in exile, a people in the land where food might have been hard to come by, a people in a land where they were being taxed at very high levels for the food that they could get, where they had to stretch out their food to make it last longer amongst their families. So it's this rich promise of God. Come and get water and milk and wine and bread that not only fills you up, but will satisfy you. So it's beyond just food. It's this spiritual promise that you can be satisfied, that God will satisfy you in your soul. An interesting thing is the first line, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. The first part of Isaiah is the judgment against the nations. The second part is God at work redeeming all those nations. Everyone who wants to experience this abundant life, come to this feast of God. Verse 3, incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that you do not know shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Incline your ear, it says. I have a confession to make. I think I've made this confession before, but if not, this is going to be a public confession. I'm a huge fan of the 1990s WCW and WWF professional wrestling. Anyone? No? One? There it is. One, two? No, three, four. Yes, very good. Thank you so much. That's more than I thought, so I guess that's better. That's more than people have check engine lights on, so that's kind of surprising. I used to watch that. It was like 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, when it was popular for me when I was in that grade. And so I remember we like watch. I watched it with my mom, and we actually come and to school, and we like talk about it like it was a real sporting event. Spoiler alert, it's scripted. But anyway, it was a lot of fun. It was great. Everyone loved Hulk Hogan, right? Yes, that's very good. Hulk Hogan fans, right? And Hulk Hogan does that thing, right? When he gets in the ring, get the crowd pumping, he does this with his ear and turns it toward the crowd, right? You know what I'm talking about? You just think I'm crazy at this point. This is my variety. Yeah, incline your ear. That's the image I get when I hear this passage. Incline your ear. Turn your ear to me. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say, God says. Listen up. I have some good news to pronounce to you. I have not forsaken you. I have not left you. I am nearby. I am pursuing after you, as we heard this morning already in our children's message. I am coming to you. I'm in the process of securing my relationship with my creation, God says, through an everlasting covenant. When we look back now, we know that covenant is through Jesus Christ. We get then to verses 6 and 7, which we'll talk about in a second, but let's finish the chapter, verses 8 through 13. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. You shall go out with joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and that shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Remember that 90s song, shall go out with joy and be the fourth of peace and go out? Yeah, that's a good one, right? That's where it's from, Isaiah 55. That's where that comes from. Verses 1 through 5, it says, promises God is making abundant blessings fall on his people in the form of an everlasting covenant. Verses 8 through 13, this is sure to happen. As waters and snow water the ground, so God's word will certainly come true. So, 6 and 7, what is our calling in the midst of this? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Seek the Lord. Seeking the Lord is not just a generic term that means pursuing God. It actually has a meaning to it, particularly in the prophetical books. When the prophets talk about seeking the Lord, it talks about going to the places and to the people that the Lord is with. Now, to be clear, we've said this before, that we cannot hide from God. God is always there. He's closer to you now than he ever was before. But he's saying, seek out those places that the Lord shall be there. In the prophetic mind, the Lord is near the orphan, the widow, the outcast, the poor, the hungry, the immigrant, the vulnerable ones in our society. To seek the Lord is to seek out the least of these among us, and there you will find the Lord. I mentioned before, some of you have given up something for Lent, and that's great. So hopefully you didn't give up chocolate, because Valentine's Day, you know, was Lent. That would have been a big bummer, so hopefully you didn't do that. It's very bad timing by the Lord this year. And if you give something up and it helps you draw closer to God, that's great. Praise the Lord. Keep doing that. But if you haven't, let me challenge you. Instead of giving something up, consider adding one small thing in this season of Lent. Consider seeking the Lord in the places where the least of these are. And there's some simple practices you can do to do that, to seek the Lord in this season. Here's some options. Take 5 minutes of additional prayer time during Lent and pray for the poor and homeless in Greater Lafayette. Pray for LUM and LTHC as they care for them. Make a meal once a week and take it to LUM in the season of Lent. Consider taking some time to help organize and work with our clothing closet downstairs in the season of Lent, or make laundry soap for LTHC. If you know someone who is widowed or lonely, take them a meal one day a week. Sit with them, pray for them, connect with them. If you know a child in a home that needs love and support, take them out once a week for ice cream. Shower them with love in this season of Lent. If time is an issue but money isn't, consider a financial offering that works toward caring for the least of these in the season of Lent. Consider writing letters to those in prison who are isolated and lonely. There are great ministries that do that and can connect you to some. Research and learn about immigration in America and pray for those who are fleeing violence to places of safety. There's many other options. Seek the Lord, as he's proximate to those on the margins. To seek the Lord is an intentional practice of being with the least of these. And this Lenten season is a time to renew and do that. Second, call upon him. The first prayer recorded in our Bibles, all the way back in Genesis chapter 4, after Cain kills Abel, and the people look around and they realize, ooh, this is not going well. We need God to show up. And so it tells us at the very end of chapter 4, they called upon the Lord. That's the first prayer. And the season of Lent is defined by special and specific prayer. Not long and drawn out. They didn't say that. You don't have to pray for hours and hours and hours to connect to God. A special and specific prayer. To be asked, to be made clean, to be renewed with God. What are the practices and the habits and the struggles and the sins that you want to call upon God to remove from you in this season of Lent? Lent is a season of what we call sanctification. A season of being made holy by confession, forgiveness, being molded into the image of God. What molding are you calling on God to do for you in this season? How do you need to be reshaped and molded again? Forsake your ways, the third word. It's an old word, I know, so another way to think of that is leave behind. Not left behind, not the book series, but leave behind, right? To leave behind your old ways and your old thoughts. The Lenten season is the time to leave behind the old ways. To pursue new ways of being closer to God. And that's a question no one can answer but you and God. What practices is the Holy Spirit nudging you to leave behind in the season? What old ways are you going to move past to enter into this new life in the Spirit? Seek, call, forsake, and lastly, return. Return to the practices and habits and relationship with Jesus. Many years ago, I heard the term remembering. Have you heard that? R-E-M-E-R, remember, to reattach a member who may have been cut off, right? So it could be a person, it could be whatever. And I really like that term, remembering, because when we talk about returning to God, it's not just going back to God, it's remembering ourselves into the body of Christ. Some of you might be here this season and you've been cut off from the body, maybe intentionally, you said, I don't want anything to do with this church anymore, I'm struggling with faith, I'm struggling with God. Lent is a season to come and remember yourself into the body. Sometimes maybe it's unintentionally. Life has been crazy. You stepped away, and now you're finding your way, wiggling back in. Lent is the season to remember yourself into the body of Christ. And for some of you, it's not a return, but a turn. Coming to the first time. Coming to Christ the first time. The cross in front of us reminds us that the season ends with the crucifixion of Jesus, but death does not hold him, and he awakens with the keys of hell in his hands in the resurrection. But those who call his name, who confess that Jesus is Lord, and believe that God raised him from the dead, will be saved. You will be remembered into that body. Whether you're remembering or remembering, return to the Lord your God this season. And as it says in verse 7, the ending there, why? Because he will have mercy, and he abundantly pardons. We serve the God of mercy, who abundantly pardons those who seek and return and call on his name. Seek, call, forsake, and return. Let's use these words to begin our season of Lent. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly and lavishly pardon. Let's pray this morning. Lord, thank you for this word in Isaiah, that you spoke to a people that were longing for their home. As we long for home, Lord, we turn to you, we seek your face. Help us, Lord, as we begin the season of Lent, to see your face in the least of these that are among us, to pray and lift up, to actually be the hands and feet, as we heard a few weeks ago from Wes at Lung, that our hearts would become hands that serve in this world. Help us to call on you afresh, to confess what needs to be confessed, to seek repentance, that you might renew us. To leave behind the old ways, to forsake the ways that we no longer want to be, and to return to you, to remember ourselves into this body, into you. We thank you that you are continually pursuing after us, that you love us, even as we wander off, you are never far. Help us in this season to remember these things.